that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father and would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think the King of glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longs for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, that's what Jesus is to me.
That'll work, won't it? Man, that's a blessing. Three sisters, and beautifully done. Thank you this morning. Exodus chapter 14. That is the second book in your Bible after the book of Genesis. Exodus chapter 14. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, the twins were here. And they're back in church this morning. Amen. Good to have Logan and Natalie back, and Ellie and Lily. And Ellie is the little one. Evie is the little one, and Lily is the bigger one. Other than that, they're identical. And so it's great to have them here this morning. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, let's do it, okay? Just to honor God's word, because it's worthy of honor. Verse 15, I'm going to read, follow along here. Chapter 14, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. I want to speak this morning on when praying is not enough. When praying is not enough. Father, would you please help us this morning as we look in your word. God, I pray that you speak to hearts. Thank you for the wonderful music this morning. It has ministered to my soul. Those songs about heaven, that choir song about the resurrection, the good special we just heard, and singing about how that Jesus is fairer and sweeter today than he was yesterday. Wow. It's been good to be here already. Now we open your book, the only book you ever wrote, the Bible. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through it this morning. May your spirit have his way. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Recently, the ladies, I referenced this a moment ago in the announcements, they enjoyed a good time at a LIFT activity. LIFT is an acronym that stands for Ladies in Faith Together. It's for the ladies of our church and any guests they want to bring with them. I think there's four different meetings throughout the year. I think the next one's around Mother's Day time. Ladies, I hope you can be at those meetings. I think they'll be a help to you. They had a time of food, had a lesson from God's Word, and they did a craft together. And at the activity, they also filled out a card that had room for them to write down a prayer request that they had. And the cards were passed out randomly so that each lady now has the opportunity to pray for a need that one of the other ladies in the church wrote down on the card. My wife has the card that she was given attached to the refrigerator by way of a magnet where she can regularly see it, and I see it more regularly than she does. And I noticed it, and I read the request that was on it. I read, had the name there. She has the card of a lady who's a grandmother and asked prayer that her grandchild would get saved at an early age and serve the Lord. And boy, that touched my heart. That just touched my heart. You know, there's something special about those grandkids. And grandparents carry the needs of their grandchildren on their hearts. You know, the need of salvation in the life of a child who is unsaved, that's the greatest need they have. The greatest need they have. And Joyce and I are praying for three of our grandkids to get saved. Several of them are already saved, but we're praying for three specifically. You know, they're close to that age of understanding what sin is and what wrong is, and that understanding begins to set in, and salvation can be received when they learn about Christ. And so we pray for them by name. We pray for all of them, but we pray specifically for those three to be saved. And grandparents, you can do something for your grandkids. You can pray. Church members, you can do something for each other. You can pray for each other. Ladies, I hope that you'll take that card. I hope that you'll be faithful to pray for the request that's on that card. And can I say something to those of you ladies who've been around the church here for years and years and years, and you're real familiar with your Bible, real familiar with the Christian life? We have a lot of new ladies. A lot of new ladies. Some of my discipleship, some great ladies in my class right now. This is all new to them. You know, they need encouragement. They need encouragement. And just pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. Okay? And that's what you can do. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life. But there came a point in Moses' life when God asked him, why are you praying? Why are you praying to me? And in spite of all the many wonderful results of prayer, people, there comes a time when prayer is not the answer to our need. There comes a time when prayer is not enough. Now, stay with me today. The story of Moses delivering the children of Israel from that oppressive bondage in the land of Egypt, that's a well-known story. And in this chapter, chapter 14, the deliverance from the land of Egypt is complete. But listen, deliverance from the mighty Egyptian army is not complete. Okay? God had led his people to travel to the edge of the Red Sea. And he had led them there for a purpose, because God was going to prove once and for all to the Egyptians that their gods were false and he was Jehovah God. That's what he's going to do. You read down to verses 5 through 9. I'm not going to read all those verses this morning, but, you know, they depart. Remember after that last plague, Pharaoh came to them after the firstborn was slain. He said, get out. Go. Just leave and get out of here now. Well, now in verses 5 through 9, he's had a change of heart about letting the Hebrews go. And he's going to send his army to capture them and bring them back into slavery. So when he heard that they were camped by the Red Sea, he knew he could get it done because they couldn't go through the Red Sea too deep. They had 2 million people. How are they going to do that? So he knew he could get it done. So the account reads in verses 5 through 9, as if Pharaoh gathered every chariot in his army and put captains over every one of them, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And in verses 10 through 12, the children of Israel, they see the Egyptian army gaining on them, and they have a meltdown. They have a meltdown. You know, folks, it was pretty miraculous that God sprang them out of Egypt to begin with. But they've forgotten that already. And they said a couple of the most bizarre things to Moses. You know, what verse it would be. Look at verse number 12. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Who said you're going to die? And the truth of the matter is, I would think that it would be better to die in the wilderness than to live like a slave in the land of Egypt, not be free. Obviously, some Ukrainians feel that way right now. So they're having a meltdown. Okay? So in verses 13 and 14, we didn't read those, but Moses, he makes a plea. He tells them, look, be courage. Don't fear. Have courage. And believe that God will work for you. And he tells them, God's going to give us the victory over the Egyptians, complete victory, and that God is going to fight for us. And then you get to verse 15, okay? And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou? Why are you crying out to me? Now, what's interesting is I don't read anywhere in the text where it's recorded that Moses is praying or speaking to God. But obviously he was, because God said, why are you crying out to me? So my guess is that in his heart, without uttering any words from his lips, Moses is crying out to God. You know, a suggestion that I would make is while Moses is making these statements, you know, these emphatic statements to the children of Israel about how God is going to deliver them and fight for them, while he's saying that in his heart, he's saying, oh, God, please help us. I remember, you know, I was stuck in a snowdrift. At night in a blizzard with over 30 teens on a rural road in Iowa. And we were stuck. We couldn't hardly see anything. And it's nighttime. It's probably 8:30 on a Saturday night. And I did something foolish and took a rural road to drop a boy off. So I had good intentions, but it didn't work out. And I kept telling the teenagers, I mean, that wind is blowing. It's freezing cold. It's a blizzard. And I kept telling the teenagers, you know, hey, don't worry. We'll get out of this. You know, just stay calm. Somebody will come by. That's what I was saying with my mouth. But the whole time I was thinking, Lord, you got to do something quick. You got to get us out of this mess. And he did, thankfully. But anyway, I don't have time to go into that. So I read this. I've got Moses doing something like this. You know, he's saying in verse 14, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. And in his heart, he's saying, Lord, you better show us something. And he says, the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Lord, did you hear that? Did you hear what I told them? And he said, the Lord shall fight for you. You are going to fight for us, right, God? I mean, I think that's what's going on here. Well, God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel to go forward. Why are you crying unto me? Go forward. Now, people, forward was into the Red Sea. That's what forward was. And then God told Moses, he said, you lift up your rod and you stretch it over the sea and divide it. And you're going to walk over on dry ground. That's exactly what Moses did. And the rest is history. So I want to say two or three things this morning quickly about when praying is not enough. When praying is not enough. Number one, there comes a time when it is necessary to add action to your prayer. There comes a time when it's necessary to add action to your prayer. You know, Moses was not wrong to depend on God. He was not wrong to trust completely in God's power to help them in a very tense situation. But there came a time when action needed to be added to Moses' prayer. With all the trust in God that Moses could muster, if he had not stretched his rod out over the sea and commanded the children of Israel to go forward, there would have been a different ending to this story. Moses had told the people to stand still. God told them to what? Go forward. So it was time to not only pray and trust God, it was time to act, to put feet to your trust. Now, it's possible that you and I are not seeing some answers to our prayers because the time has come for action to be added to the prayer, and yet you know what we're doing? We're standing still. We're standing still. And God wasn't going to answer their prayer, Moses' prayer, as long as they were standing still. God wasn't going to answer their prayer until they went forward, until they moved, okay? Now, can you hear God asking you this morning? Maybe think about something you've been praying for. It just seems like, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying, and the answer to my prayer never comes. Well, maybe I'm where Moses was. Why do you continue to pray? God says to us, go forward. Go forward. Take some action. Some of God's people are seeking His direction. You're seeking His guidance for your life and desperately seeking God's favor in a certain matter. Maybe it's about a job or about a health issue or about a relationship that needs help. There's something you need God to do in your life. God has already put in His word exactly what steps He expects us to take in order to receive His hand of blessing. Yet we hesitate and we don't take action. And we continue to pound the floor. Oh, God, you got to help us. And maybe even tears come out of our eyes. He's already told us what to do. Why are you crying out to me? It's time to add obedience to your prayer. Go forward. You know, Joshua, he led the children of Israel into the promised land. You remember that story? They defeated the city of Jericho. Huge city. Defeated the city of Jericho without firing a shot. By walking around the walls, those 6 days, one time a day and seven times on the seventh day. And here came the walls tumbling down. They'd fallen down flat. They had obeyed God. The next city to be conquered was the city of Ai, a little bitty city. Joshua said, hey, we got this. He sends 3,000 men up there. But the little city of Ai withstood Joshua's soldiers, killed 36 Israelites, and Joshua's army of 3,000 returned to the camp defeated. Remember that story? Remember what Joshua did? He fell on his face. In fact, he rent his clothes and fell on his face to the ground and began to cry out to God, oh God, why did you bring us out here just to destroy us? What are the enemies, your enemies going to think when they hear that you've killed all of us out here? Do you remember God's response to Joshua? Remember his first two words? Get up. Well, folks, wouldn't you think that being on your face with your clothes torn out of anguish and you're on your face pleading with God, wouldn't you think that would be pleasing to Him? But there comes a time when praying's not enough. Joshua, get up. Get off your face. There is sin amongst the people, and I'm not going to help you until you take action, until you obey. Go forward and take action. And Joshua did, and God helped them. Now, how many of God's people are on their face asking God to do something miraculous for them when what is needed is for them to take action concerning something? Is it sin? Is it something that needs to be fixed? If it's sin that prohibits God from acting on our part, let's get up off our face, get the sin confessed, get it forsaken, and go forward with what we know God wants us to do. when praying is not enough. Not enough to be on your face. You have to couple obedience with it. And I can tell you personally through the years that, man, there have been times where I have been absolutely despondent. It's very private. I've never been that way in front of my wife. I don't think I was ever that way in front of my children. But in my prayer closet, in my quiet time before God, I've been despondent, on my face, with tears rolling out of my eyes. Oh, God. Oh, God. Whether it was something personally, whether it was something in the church, whether it was something with our family. And I can honestly tell you, folks, I'm not just making this up. God hears every word that I'm saying this morning. I'm going to give account to Him for the message that I'm preaching. I have heard the Spirit of God witness to my heart, get up and start doing what you know is right to do. Sometimes prayer is not enough. You have to put obedience with your prayer. I'm not saying stop praying. I'm saying couple obedience with the prayer and go forward. You know, recently, a member of our church was concerned about a relative and their salvation and asked the church to pray about it. And as staff members, we were praying about it on Wednesday mornings for this relative. And pretty soon, you know, a visit was made to the relative, and it was found out that as a much younger person, that relative had called on God to save them after hearing Billy Graham preach. Do you know that church member could still be on their face praying for that relative if they hadn't gotten up and done something? Sometimes prayer is not enough. Sometimes we have to add obedience to the prayer, and God gives the victory. God gives the answer. There comes a time when it's necessary to add action to prayer. And I believe some in the crowd this morning, you need to take action. You need to go forward. I'm not saying quit praying. I'm not saying don't ever go to your face again. But I'm saying, look, get on your face and then get up and do what you know God wants you to do, what God has told you to do, what God expects you to do out of His Word. And you know what? You might just get the answer to your prayer. Does that make sense? It's when praying is not enough. Moses, why are you crying out to me? Get up. Get up, Joshua. Why are you crying out to me? Get up. Let's do something. Go forward. Prayer is not enough when action is required. It needs to be coupled with obedience. Number two, this morning, I want you to notice this. Substituting something good in place of obedience is not going forward. I'll say that again. Substituting something good in place of obedience is not the same as going forward. So what if Moses, you know, what if Israel and Moses had substituted something good instead of simply going forward? You know, what if they had decided, you know what, oh God, I tell you what, God, I know you told us to go forward, but that's the Red Sea out there. So I think what we're going to do, I know you love sacrifices, and so we're going to build an altar here, and I'm going to take one of these little lambs and one of these little calves, and we're going to kill this lamb and kill this calf, and we're going to alter it, we're going to burn it, we're going to offer it on this altar here as a burnt offering because I know that you love sacrifices, and sacrifices please you. Would altars and sacrifices, is that a good thing for them? Yes. Would substituting that for going forward have done them any good? No. Would not have done them any good. It was not time to substitute something else, even though it may be good, for what God had commanded. You know what it's time to do, folks, when God commands? Get up and go forward. Obey Him. The Israelites would have been overcome by the Egyptian army and taken back into captivity if they had done something, if they had substituted the only thing that was going to save their neck was obey. Well, it's kind of hard to obey. Don't talk about you and I being hard to obey when they're looking at the Red Sea. And God's saying, go forward. Anybody got a boat? I don't think they hauled any boats out of the land of Egypt. Listen, there was a time when King Saul attempted to replace obedience with good intentions. I'll tell you quickly the story. You know, instead of simply obeying the command that God gave Samuel to King Saul, Saul tried to substitute something good in place of obedience. God had told him to destroy all the herds and flocks of the Amalekites. It was plain and simple. All their herds, all their flocks, destroy them all. That's what God had told Saul to do. But instead, he spared some of them. And when Samuel showed up, why do I hear the lowing of oxen? Why do I hear the bleating of sheep? What's going on here? Oh, I got something planned. We are going to take all those animals and we're going to sacrifice them to God. We're going to build a bunch of altars. We're going to kill those animals. We're going to split them down the middle. We're going to obey the Levitical law to the T. We're going to put all those things on the altar. We're going to burn all of those things. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. Do you remember Samuel's statement? Statement slash question. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The answer to that is no. All your good intentions, Saul, all these things that you want to substitute for what God said, do not please him, even though they were good things. Then Samuel said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul, if you had just obeyed God, he would be pleased. But you can't substitute good things in place of what God has said and be pleasing to him. Can't do that. You know, people make magnificent plans to do really good things and just in place of just simply obeying what God's already told them to do. Magnificent plans would have resulted in Israel being captured. The most magnificent thing Israel could do at the Red Sea was just obey God. Go forward. And they did. And God delivered them. God delivered them. Rather than obey God, some people start making their own elaborate plans about what they're going to do. This happens with salvation, folks. I don't know how many people I've talked to, you know. Ask them if they know for sure. Do you know for sure if you, when you die, you're going to go to heaven? No, I don't know. Can I show you what the Bible says about how to be saved? Sure. Take them through the plan of salvation. Wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior today? Well, you know, Pastor, I really need God in my life. And, you know, we really need to find a church. And I really need to get things better. And I'm going to start doing this. And I'm going to start doing this. And I'm going to start doing that. And, you know, well, you know what? Going to church is a good thing. And working to have a better life is a good thing. But folks, when you're in need of salvation, the only thing that's going to please God is you admitting that you're a sinner and believing that Christ died for you and personally receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only thing that's going to please him in that area. You can make all the good plans you want to and good things. I've heard that so many times. Yeah, we need to find a church and we really need to get God in our lives. No, you know, at that moment in time, nothing wrong with finding a church, nothing wrong with getting God in your life. But at that moment in time, if you don't have the assurance that you're on your way to heaven, if you don't have that sweet assurance in your heart that your place in eternity is going to be the place we sang about this morning, where we'll never grow old, where there's a mansion over the hilltop. If you don't know that for sure, the thing that you need to do is not find a church and not make a better life. The thing you need to do is repent and be saved. That's it. Well, I'm going to pray that God will lead us to a church. That's not enough. It's not enough. I'm going to pray that I can get God in my life. No, no. This is your prayer. Father, dear God, I am a sinner. And I've sinned against you, and I've disobeyed your commands, and I don't want to be separated from you forever by the wages of sin and hell. And I believe that Jesus died for me, and that he was buried, and that he rose again so I could be saved. And I want to trust your son now to say, that's what you pray. And you pray that from your heart. You don't make good plans. You don't substitute repentance and faith with other good things. Do you know what happens to people who try to substitute good things in place of just obeying God and getting saved? they spend eternity in hell. You say, that's harsh. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to help you this morning. They spend eternity in hell apart from God. And all that's wonderful in heaven, the only right response to the command to go forward for the Israelites is to go forward. And the only right response to the command for you to get saved is get saved. Don't try to substitute something that you believe to be good in place of obedience. You know, this is true about the call of God on a young man's life. You know, I believe sometimes young men get the call of God on their life to serve Him full time. And, you know, it's just, they just uncertain about it. So they make these plans. Well, you know, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a preacher. I don't want to be an evangelist. I'm going to be a missionary. So, you know, I am going to do this. And I'm going to get this done and 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 get all these good things in my life all lined up. Let me tell you something. The only obedience to the command to go forward is go forward. If God calls and says, I want you, then go forward. Go forward. Don't try to substitute good things in place of just old-fashioned obedience to God. So there comes a time when praying is not enough. You've got to put action. You've got to put obedience to your prayer. And don't make the mistake of substituting good things instead of just obedience. And then number three, when prayer is combined with obedience, God responds. He responds. Moses did as God told him. Water back and forth, water back and forth, water back and forth. Egyptian army right over here. Moses, why are you praying? Stretch your rod out over the sea and go forward. Okay. I told him to stand still. You're telling us to go forward. They went forward. And they went forward on dry ground. And the Egyptians thought, if the Hebrews can do it, we can do it better. Not happening. They got in that place, that solid ground that the Israelites had walked on, turned into muck. Their wheels came off of their chariots. You talk about the worst time to have a flat tire. And here came that water. And every Egyptian in that army was drowned. That's miraculous. Over and over again, God's people have seen Him do the miraculous when prayer and obedience are combined. The relationship between God's sovereignty and man's free will is an interesting dynamic. God has the power to do anything He wants and chooses. You know who can stop His mighty power from being displayed? Me and you. That's through the Bible. He did no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. The children of Israel turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. What? People limit God? What the book says? And we limit God when we don't combine our prayer with obedience. But when we do combine our prayer with obedience to God, it unlocks what God wants to do and will do on our behalf. Yes, praying is part of it, but at some point our prayer has to be combined with obedience. You know, Jeremy Ogden has preached here. He pastors out. I wish you could see Wills Point, Texas. Anybody been through Wills Point, Texas? Wills Point. Wills Chico, I don't know if you were over in that part. Folks, it is out in the middle of it, And he's got a wonderful church. And several years ago, he asked me to come down and do a building. They wanted to do a building. They needed to get their old mortgage paid off, kind of like we did here. Get the old mortgage paid off and start saving for a different building. I think it was he wanted to build like a gymnasium classroom type building like we got over there. And so he asked me, he said, can you come down and, you know, kick off a building fund for our church? And so I did. Put a PowerPoint together and went down and preached a couple of days. And his people responded and they started giving. And they were having really good offerings. And everything they took in was going to the principal. They're going to their old mortgage, paying it off every month, paying it off. And he was in his office in the month of November. And he said, God spoke to his heart. He was reading some missionary letters. He said, God spoke to my heart that he wanted us to take the building offering for the month of December, and instead of putting it on our building payment, give it to missionaries. Divide it up amongst all our missionaries for a Christmas gift. But he can't do that without a vote of the people, because the people are given to the building program. You can't take the building money and give it to missions without people voting on it. So he told the church what he felt God had led him to do, and the church had confidence in him, and they all voted to do that. They kept giving in the month of December. At the month of December, it took all that money that came in for the building, and they gave it to their missionaries, split it up. Now that's January. You know, they're 3 or 4 weeks into a new year, and he gets a call from a lady in Wills Point, Texas, who says, can I come by and see you for a few minutes? And he says, sure. And I can't remember all the details of their conversation, but it is something like this and very close to this, if not exactly this. She said, Pastor Ogdy, I am a saved lady. I'm not living like it. I'm not living for God. But I know enough about God's book and tithing that I need to get this right, get this fixed. And she reached in her purse and pulled out a check. And she said, I want to give this to the church. And he said, he just said thank you and had prayer with her and tried to encourage her to get in church. I don't know if she ever did or not. She left and he opened the check, and the check paid off their mortgage. Paid it off. Oh, God, please help us get this mortgage paid off. Please help us get this mortgage paid off. Please help us get this mortgage paid off. I want you to give that money to missions. But Lord, if we get the building paid off, you know, I could do this, and we'll take that, you know, we'll get that money to, instead we'll do this, and we'll raise some offerings from our people for missions. And you know what the pastor did? He just simply did what God said to do. And guess what? The sea parted. Sometimes praying is always good, but folks, there comes a time when praying is not enough. There comes a time when we got to hook obedience to it, and we can't substitute things that we think would work. God, I know what you said, but no. This is what God said. We're going forward. And brother, when we take prayer and combine prayer with obedience, we can see the hand of God work in our lives. So what do you need to go forward about? What do you need to keep praying about, but couple obedience with it? Huh? You may just see God part the Red Sea. That may happen. You need to be saved. You can visit 1,000 churches. Not going to work. If you need to be saved, get saved. Get saved. What is it? Your marriage need help? Oh, God, please help my marriage. Please help my marriage. While you're screaming at your wife, get up off your knees and treat your wife like a human being. And on I could go, folks. Sometimes praying is not enough. Sometimes we have to couple obedience with it and see God work. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning. I pray this message will reach out to the heart that needs it most today. Lord, I know there are times when you've told me, no need to pray. Get up and get moving. Get up and get forward. Do something. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Please be obedient in our hearts. If you've spoken to us about something that needs to be to take place, help us to be obedient. Spirit of God, please work. Now, listen, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I know it's a private time, and I'm glad it is. Please don't tune me out. Please don't tune me out. Do you need to be saved? In other words, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you don't need to find another church or a different church, or you don't need to, get God. You need to be saved. Maybe you don't even know what that means. Being saved means you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven in the sight of God. You have heaven as your home. You have been born again into God's family. If you're not saved, you can get saved. And I would encourage you to. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning, by uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I'm not sure that I'm born again. Is that you? Would you be honest enough to say, that's me? I'm not going to call your name. I may not even know you. But I want to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Can I see your hand? Would you slip it up in the air wherever you're sitting? I'm not sure that I'm born again. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If you don't know that this morning, this is a day you can find out what it means to be saved. All right, if you're here this morning and you have been saved, you've not been baptized according to God's word, that's the step you need to take, then you come and tell these men that. Maybe you came for that purpose this morning. But Christian, is there something you've been praying about? Is there something you've been on your face about? Is there something that tears have been coming down your cheeks? And you know what? The truth of the matter is, what you need to do right now is not quit praying, but you need to add obedience to it. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to put some feet to my prayers. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the privilege of preaching your word today. I pray that you take the application and, Lord, drive it home to the hearts that need it most this morning. Help us to learn to be obedient, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So help us to obey you this morning. I pray in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play the song of invitation. If you raised your hand, God spoke to your heart. Now's the time to come. Slip out. This would be a good time to go forward to an altar and just kneel and say, God, help me. Would you come this morning? You've been praying about something. It's time to get up. Not quit praying, but put some action with your prayers. Would you come? Are you saved? You know, you can come this morning. Ladies can take a Bible and show a lady. Men take a Bible and show men, boys, how to be saved. We'd love to help you this morning with that. If you're not saved, would you come? Would you come?